This is Very Interesting Radio with Very Interesting Magazine.
And good afternoon to you, Bruce. How are you?
I'm great, Kathy. How are you?
All right, thank you. So you've got some of our shower thoughts. And
I'm picturing you making notes in the midst of the last
Oh, yes, you should just see my shower. Why are human brains so big?
Well, this is a good thing for geeks everywhere, because as you know, with many animal species, a peacock has an enormous tail because it kind of makes him sexier, you know. So a lot of scientists are thinking that's the same thing with brains, in that the greater the skills you have, the more attractive you are. So things like making music, art, telling stories, all of these help you to, in biological terms, you know, attract potential mates, which is great. There's also humans have far larger social groups and far more complex social interactions. So managing that takes a lot of brains. Your average human circle apparently is around 150 people, for a chimpanzee or something else with a large brain, it's around 50. So we have to manage all of that and you know, watch out for some backstabbing there and some business advantage there and all of that kind of thing. And for those reasons, in biological terms, yes, in survival terms, our brains have developed as they have, in the size they have.
So when science told us 30 years ago that we only use 10% of our brains, it was actually a lie.
You know what, if I'm only using 10%, I mean, imagine what I could be.
Imagine, Rocket Man. Okay, so, why does cold weather make people's joints sore?
Well, it kind of doesn't, not on its own anyway, because if it did, we would all agree on that. We would all know as soon as the cold front was coming in about our sore joints and stuff. So it doesn't do it uniformly, if you like. So what there is there's a psychological link. Somebody who has a lower pain threshold anyway will feel it more in cold weather, or will claim to feel it more in cold weather, probably just because they're miserable. But when there is a big jump in temperature, so around 10 degrees Celsius, if it really drops that much, things like fluids in joints and whatever can become affected. And so particularly people with arthritis can pick that up. But it has to be quite a big jump. And as I say, it's probably tied to a sort of a pain threshold scenario anyway.
Yeah, and I noticed that some people who have had surgery or anything like that, it certainly seems to be exasperating.
Seize up.
Yeah,
seize up. It's like as you warm up before you play sports or whatever, it's the same thing. If your muscle or your joint or whatever is not loose and you know, ready to go, it's gonna feel stiff, you know, the colder it gets.
Yeah. Bruce, something that I've never really looked into, but certainly something that I've contemplated in the shower, is could melting ice caps affect, the frequency and the size of earthquakes?
The short answer is yes, but we don't know how much yet. Now, it has to do with the enormous weight of ice. I mean, as you know, just an iceberg or something can take out a ship. It's not a problem, all of that kind of thing. So when you have enormous amounts of ice covering the tectonic plates, so places like Greenland or Antarctica, when we're losing a lot of ice, there is a huge weight shift. Now, obviously, I say huge, you know, it might weigh as much as Iceland, but relative to Antarctica, that doesn't matter at all. So it really does have to be an enormous, enormous amount of lost ice before it starts affecting the overall weight on the plates. But geologists have already, they've traced some small earthquakes back to sort of melted ice, to a loss of ice, but they're not sure yet, they can't yet extrapolate how much that would change if we, for instance, you know, just lost a billion tons or something. And I think because of the pace of global warming, you know, we're not too worried yet. But the theory says it could change the setup quite dramatically.
Yeah, very interesting, Bruce. In Very Interesting Magazine, are you ever going to do a feature on flat Earth theory?
I think we have way back when, but it might be time to look into another one. Yeah, I think just for the chance to interview somebody, I think it might be fun.
And link to a video on your Facebook page. Okay, another big question, especially at this time of the year, is and this comes from Lindy Ware. These were Lindy Ware's shower thoughts. Right, Lind.
Yes, very true, Bruce.
Absolutely.
Does chicken soup really help a cough?
There is some evidence for this. So all of the ladies who are listening who have these amazing recipes that they're all going to send in afterwards, and hopefully we can get those off your Facebook page. I see what I did there. But just there is something in chicken soup, in the ingredients, in the way it's put together, that kind of calms your white blood cells down. So it kind of interferes in their activity. Now, when you have a cold or a cough, the inflammation of your throat and your sinuses is what's making you feel rotten. It's what's so uncomfortable. And that inflammation is caused by your white blood cells getting there to try and kick the bugs out. So because they're chilled out by your lovely chicken soup, you feel better. The symptom is not as severe, but it's not making you better, but it is making you feel better temporarily.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Very interesting.
There we go.
Thank you so much, Bruce DeNille, editor of Very Interesting Magazine. You can check it out if you want to subscribe. You get a 30% discount if you're a Hi FM listener. So all you have to do is pop an email. We've set it up so that it's nice and easy for you. And I just need to declare that this is not paid advertising. Bruce is the top expert in his field. So go on. If you want to subscribe, it's really worth it. I subscribe to magazines. Brilliant. You just pop an email to it's very interesting, right? Is it very interesting at highfm.com? Oh, he's gone. Anyhow, very interesting at highfm.com.